are teeing up a new series starting today on discovering God's will for your life. And we are titling this study, Walk This Way, because we do want to learn how we can discern God's path for us. We want to know which way we need to go with our life. What does God want us to do? We want to follow His plan for us. Walk this way. So here's the question that I need to ask at the start of this series. Are you Run DMC or Aerosmith, Walk This Way? How many Run DMC? How many old school? Oh, it's good to see the old souls in the house. Yeah, I will tell you, I'm excited about this study. Let me tell you why. Because this is the second most commonly asked question of me as a pastor. How do I know God's will for my life? How can I discern God's plan? How do I know what path He wants me to go down? These questions are asked all the time. If you've ever been uncertain about what to do with your life, if you've ever prayed, but you still don't know which path you need to go down, if you've been a person who's been tempted to flip a coin or crack open a fortune cookie to find your way forward, these next few weeks are for you. Now, it has been my experience as a pastor that no matter who you are, whether you're a seasoned follower of Christ or you're someone that prayed to receive Jesus at Christmas Eve, we all can have some struggles and challenges in figuring out God's will for our life. Whenever we were younger, maybe we found ourselves processing questions like, God, what do you want me to be when I grow up? What's your plan for me? Then we moved on into high school, and some of the questions that we needed God's direction were things like, you know, what sports should I play? What classes should I take? Who should I ask out on a date? And then we got out there in the big world, the real world, and some of the things we needed help figuring out are like, you know, should I go to college? If so, what college? Or should I just jump into vocational training? Or maybe just get into the workforce? Like, what job is right for me? What city should I live in? Should I marry this person or not? Should we buy or rent a house? If we're going to have kids, should we start now or wait till later? Should we have 1, 2, 4, or stop after 8? Should we get a dog or a cat? Now, wait a minute. God's will is clear on that because cats are from hell, right? So or maybe more recently, we've been kind of leaning in to get God's direction on something like this. But should I get vaccinated or remain unvaccinated? See, we all have moments where we need God's direction. What's your plan? What's your will for my life? I don't know about you, but I've done some goofy things in the past to try to figure out God's plan for me. In fact, I want to give you a couple of examples, and I'm going to say up front, these are not good examples, all right? But in the spirit of keeping it real, there was a moment where I sincerely wanted to know, God, what do you have planned for me? And so I prayed and said, God, if this is your plan, if you want me to do this, then tomorrow let it be sunny and no clouds anywhere in the sky. I don't know the forecast, so if there's clouds that show up, then I'm gonna don't do that. But if there's no clouds, like that's gonna be a sign for me to go forward with that. So another time I was driving down the road, I could see a stoplight in the distance. Okay, Lord, here's the deal. If that light turns green by the time I get to it, and I don't have to stop in the light, then that's going to be your sign for me to go forward. I told you up front they weren't good examples. Don't look at me so judgy, all right? You've been there too. You've done some of those very same things. I think we've all had moments when we've thought to ourselves, God, couldn't you make this just a little bit easier for me to figure out your plan? Could you go all like magic eight ball on us and just let us have that kind of clarity? You remember that? The big eight ball, it looked like a billiard ball, but it was bigger and it was full of liquid and you would shake it up and there was a little cube thing on the inside. You turn it over, the cube thing would float to the top and give you an answer to a question. You know, are we gonna lose this game? Yes. Ugh. Is she going to dump me? Yes. Oh, like, that didn't count. Redo. Do it again. Do it again. Which kind of exposes something. I think in all honesty, many of us are hesitant with this whole subject matter of finding God's will for our life because we're afraid of what it may be or where it may lead. Like if I ask God for his plan for my life, I'm going to have to move to Uzbekistan and be a missionary. Or he may want me to marry someone I don't like. When my wife was in college at the University of Oklahoma, she's been forgiven for that. She became a follower of Jesus, and she joined a Bible study group with other college students to kind of process, you know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? She came to the group one night. She looked across the room and saw a guy she was completely unattracted to and had this sick feeling in her stomach, like, God, do you want me to marry him? I'm serious, y'all. And it was me. No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. That part of the story is made up. But it's amazing sometimes how we have in our minds, like God is looking to plan our lives so that they're miserable. And so we really are afraid to find out what he has planned for us. So here's where we need to start the study. By coming to a place where our hearts are more open to his plan. In fact, I'm going to challenge every one of us to have an open heart toward what God has planned for you. An open heart toward what God has planned for you. During my childhood, our family attended church. And when we went to church, we often sang a song. It was usually at the end of the service that had these lyrics. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Anybody remember that? Yeah, no turning back. Said things like, though none go with me, I still will follow. Won't turn back. My cross I'll carry. Whatever it is that you ask me to do, I'm going to do till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let me ask you this. Is your heart that open to the Lord? Is your heart that open to the Lord and his plan for you? Tell you what, let's do this to start this whole series and study. Let's create some space to process that question. So let me ask you to do this. Just bow your head, close your eyes, allow some personal space between you and the Lord. No one else is looking around. No one else can see. Here's what I want you to do. Put your hands out in front of you. Set both hands or one hand on your lap and just let that hand represent your heart. Now, how open is your heart to God's will for your life? If you're closed, like I don't even want to know what God's plan is, just make a fist. If you're kind of open, like I think I might be open to the Lord, just open your hand a little bit. If you're completely open to the Lord's plan, then fully open your hand. Now, as you're deciding how to open your hand as a representation of your heart before the Lord, can I remind you of this? God has your best interest in mind. And whatever he has planned for you will be the best for you. Where he leads you will take you to the place that you will later find out is right where you want to be. So will you have an open heart to the Lord's plan for your life? Well, that's where we're going to start. And over the next few weeks, my prayer for you is that God will continue to give you a sense of revelation of his goodness so that your heart and your hand will be more and more open to his plan. So let's get started. I want you to take your Bible, open with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to take a look at two verses, verses 1 and 2. We're also going to put on the screen another verse of scripture that relates to our pursuit of God's will. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. We'll put that one on the screen. Open your Bible to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, this passage in Jeremiah is a very familiar passage. You hear this scripture quoted quite often. In fact, this is kind of grandma cross-stitch territory. Like, this is the kind of thing you might see on a pillow. It is a promise that was made to an ancient group of people, but it still speaks to us today. It reads this way. For I know the plans, that's an important word. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans, notice, for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Now, if you've never seen that verse before, it probably is very refreshing to entertain the idea that God has a good future. He's got a good plan for you. That word plan is a Hebrew word, and it means literally a contrivance. It means to put details together for a plot or a plan. To contrive all the details and put a plot or a plan together. It came to mean purposeful, imaginative intent. Thoughts that are turned into action. And to capture that essence of the idea of a contrivance, kind of putting together the details of a plan, the Message Bible words Jeremiah 29, 11 this way. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Can I say to you, God knows what he's doing. And he's got a plan he's planning out for you. And I want you to listen to this. His plans are never plan B. They are always plan A for you. You say, wait a minute. In my lifetime, I've made some mistakes. I've taken some wrong turns. I'm talking some serious wrong turns. I feel like my life has drifted a long ways off the plan that God has for me. Plan A, whatever that may have been, is long in my past. We had a young teenager who did a lot of babysitting for us whenever our children were young. And she came to see us whenever she was 17, along with her parents. She felt like because her relationship was so close to us, that she wanted to tell us what she needed to tell us in person without someone else telling us. So as we sat across the table from her, she said, I've made the mistake of having a sexual relationship with my boyfriend, and I'm pregnant. As she shared with us, on her face was guilt and shame. It didn't take a great theologian to see, like, she was weighing heavily the consequences of her sinful actions, and she was repentant. We looked at her and said, while the circumstances were wrong, life is right. And that child, whether you choose to raise it or give it through adoption, that child can never be thought of as plan B. And you're still on God's plan for your life. Now, you may question, how could we give that kind of assurance to her? Listen, Jeremiah 29, 11 was not written to people who had their stuff together. In fact, it was written to a group of people who had made so many wrong turns in their life that God actually allowed them to experience some of the harshest consequences of their rebellious actions. They were conquered. They were captured. They were carried off to become the property of another nation. If anyone had the right to feel like their actions took them offline from God's plan, it was Israel. And yet, at the moment these words were spoken and recorded in Jeremiah 29:11, Israel, they were displaced from living in their land of promise. They were being held in captivity in Babylon, and yet God still had them on his plan A. As promised, he was putting together the details, contriving a plan that refreshed his plan A for them, plans that would give them a future worth hoping for. That, my friend, is mind-blowing. That God can do what he do. Do you remember what we used to do before we had GPS? Somebody shouted out in the second service, "We got lost a lot." Yeah, we did. You had to get directions, right? And boy, that's a lost art. When's the last time you asked anybody for directions, right? Or you had to take out the map. And you'd get a map out, and you'd pick your destination, and you'd find a path, like the plan A path for getting to that place. Now, because we didn't have GPS to give us that voice to say, turn here, we often made mistakes and we missed our exit. And that happened, you had to get the map back out and you had to pick a new plan A to path you to the new place that you wanted to go. Now, GPS gives us those verbal prompts, but we still miss our turns. And notice this. GPS doesn't give us the feedback we deserve. You missed it, moron. All it does by itself, it just starts recalculating a new path that's a plan A to get you where you need to go. So are you telling me that GPS is more patient and gracious than God? He knows you. He knows where you're going. He knows how to recalculate your path. I promise you this, God is persevering in his plan for you, and his perseverance reveals more than a determination for a destination. God does have a plan for you, but don't you hear this? He also has a purpose that's even greater than his plan. His primary will for your life is not where you are going, but it's who you are becoming. Now listen, it's not that his plans are inconsequential. Like where you're going is important to God, but the plans are part of the process of his purpose to shape you increasingly into the person he determines you to be. And if you're a follower of Christ, that means God is shaping you along your life path so that you can keep in keeping with Christ's character. He wants you to be more like Jesus. So let me say it again. God has a plan for you. But even greater, he has a purpose for you, which is to transform who you are. So now that takes us to Romans 12:1-2. Follow along with me. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." The word bodies is not limited to your physical self. He really doesn't have that in mind at all. The idea of body is your whole self. So make your whole self available to God. Let your heart be open to what God has planned for you. Why? Because of all he's done for you. He's earned your trust. He's worthy of our surrender. Let our whole selves be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Look at verse 2. Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. We often get our prompts of what we're going to do. We often figure out, like, what's our next step by looking at worldly patterns. We want to know what Oprah has to say about the next step of our life. And so, Paul, don't do that. Don't conform yourself to those things. But, watch this, let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. Let God's plans transform you. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, if God has a perfect plan for me, it kind of is a reality of my curiosity, like, but I'm imperfect. How can an imperfect person ever follow a perfect plan? Well, we already said that God is constantly refreshing his plan A for us, which might tempt some of us to think, like, if God is just constantly refreshing, why does it even matter that I find out what God's will is? If he's just constantly, just kind of graciously updating the plan, why do I even need to know the plan? Why can't I just keep doing whatever I want to do? Two reasons. One, there are consequences to wrong turns. God is gracious and keeps refreshing the plan, but some of the situations and the conditions that come from wrong terms can stay with us. And we can have burdens that we carry the rest of our lives. So it's always better to find and follow God's plan. Secondly, as a true believer, like, I mean, you're legit. Like, you love the Lord. You want to follow the Lord. I can't be comfortable ignoring God's plan just to play on his grace. A few weeks ago, we talked about the sin of presumption. Just doing whatever we want to do and then just expecting the grace of God to excuse it. The Apostle Paul, earlier in the same book of Romans, vetted this question. Should we continue to sin? Should we just keep doing whatever it is we want to do, hoping for this refreshing, recalculating grace to happen in our life? He answers that question, no. No. We don't want to presume on God's grace. What we want to do is know his will and walk in it. Now, to know God's will, we should be aware of some of the standards that shape his plans for us. Theologians have summarized, there's basically three components to God's will. And I'm going to frame that using the illustration of a soccer goal. So you have the three bars, the side bars and the top bar, which gives us the shape of that soccer goal. You can kick on goal because those standards set up the goal for you. And so when you understand, like, there are three standards of God's will, it will help you kind of kick on goal for finding God's purpose and plan for your life. Here's the first standard. We're going to call it his unchanging plans. His unchanging plans. Sometimes we might hear theologians call this God's providential will, or his sovereign plan. This means that God has plans, things that he's decided that he's going to do, and nothing and nobody is going to stop him from doing it. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27 says, "The Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him?" Job 42, verse 2. "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. He is the Lord Almighty, y'all. And there are certain things that he's decided he's going to do. And I promise you, he's going to do them." One example of that. I don't know when, it feels like it's sooner rather than later, but Jesus is returning. He's coming again. And the Father has willed when Jesus is going to return. And I'm going to promise you that there is no government or other agency that's going to stop God from bringing his son back when he determines. He's coming back when he decides he's coming back, period. He has unchanging plans. And our life will be better spent if we learn what his unchanging plans are and we get on board with it. Here's the second standard of God's plan. That they're universal plans. He's got universal plans. Sometimes theologians describe this as his general plan or his moral will. Universal plans are the moral laws. It's the truth principles that are in the Bible that are written and applied to everyone. God has the same moral plan for everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Says this is good and pleases God our Savior who wants, notice this, everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. God's universal plan is for people to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And for those who are saved, it is God's universal plan that our life will be shaped by a life of obedience to all of God's moral expectations. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is for you to be holy. So his preferred plan is for everyone to be saved and to be shaped by his holiness. But here's the thing. Unlike his unchanging plans, the universal plans, you have a part in that. You can choose to be saved by his grace and shaped by his sanctification, or you can reject that. He wants it for all, but we got to decide if we're going to follow that will. Here's the third one, your plans. Your plans. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm not talking about your own plan, like I'm going to decide to do this. By your plan, what I mean is the plan God has for you. That he has specific things, unique things, that he's planned just for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2 cautions us about spending the rest of our lives, what he calls chasing your own desires. Living how you just want to live, following your own plan. But instead, he says, be anxious. That means be willing, be ready, be excited about doing his will. Now, that's where we're going to pick up next week. As we're going to talk about, like, how do we know God's specific, unique plan for each of us? We may wonder, like, what's included in that plan? Are we talking the big ticket items? Like God has a plan for who you marry and where you live and what your career path is. Or are we talking about into the day-to-day details, like what path I choose to drive to work or what color socks do I wear? Like what are the details of his plan? We're going to talk about that next week. But today is all about staking the ground with an openness to whatever God's plan may be. Like, is your heart open to that? Some of us may be thinking, I'm open, but kind of hedging my bets too. Like, I'm open as long as it doesn't mean I have to leave Lubbock. I'm open as long as it doesn't cost me financially. Like, God, I'm open for your plan and your will as long as it doesn't make me uncomfortable. If I don't have to do anything crazy, I'm all down for that. But if you get into the crazy, I'm out. Today's about deciding, like, how open is my heart to his plan. Let's go back to where we started. Heads bowed, eyes closed, hands out in front of us. Let your hands represent your heart. No one else can see, man. Be honest. If you're closed to what God has planned for you, just make a fist. If you're kind of open, like, Lord, as long as, open your hands a little bit. But if you're completely open, just lay your hands open before the Lord and say, Lord, here's my heart. I know that you have contrived, put together the details of a plan that is good for me. And I've learned I can trust you. So my heart is open. If that's you, just open up your hands. Some of us may be bumping into a reality that says, you know, I really, over these next few weeks as we're talking about this, I need God to open my heart up more to his plan. I'm open, but I also know who I am and what I've done in the past, and I know how hesitant I can be and how many excuses I can offer. So, Pastor, would you pray for me that in the next few weeks that the Holy Spirit will continue to open my heart? If that's you, if you want me to pray for you, that God will keep opening your heart to his plan, just lift your hand up, because I'm going to pray in just a second. I see you, brother. I see you, sister. I got you. Yeah. Father, thank you for these who lifted a hand to just indicate their openness for you to work in their heart and ready them so that they can hear you and know your path for their life. Thank you for their honesty. Thank you for the fact you see into the heart, you hear that cry. So I invite you to just continue to plow up the ground of the heart. Make it ready to receive the seed of your will, that it might be planted deep and grow long and bear much fruit. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Maybe you're here and your heart needs to be open. Listen to God's plan of salvation for you. There's something about those words that hit your heart today, that he's not willing to let you perish. That it's his longing for you to be saved. Maybe you grew up in church, you've done religious things, but there's something about completely turning your heart over to the Lord. This moment, you can sense, like, that's God's plan for me. I've tried to live out my life a lot of different ways. I've taken a lot of wrong turns. I'm so thankful to know he hadn't given up on me. But in this moment, I don't want to give up on him. I want Jesus to come into my heart and life. That's you. Just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'll say the words out loud. You can pray them quietly in your heart. Just make those words your words. Let the words become a sincere heart cry. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Tell him that. I know I've taken wrong turns, made my mistakes, I've rebelled. But I know Jesus came to forgive me, lived his life perfectly, offered himself as a sacrifice for my sin, raised from the dead. I believe that. Tell the Lord, I believe that he's the Son of God, the living Son of God. The best I know how, I will follow you, Jesus, all my life. And whether you made that decision now, you made it years ago, there's something about realizing I go forward with a heart that's open to the Lord. I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm not turning back. Cross before me, whatever it is that Jesus wants me to carry, whatever he wants me to do, until Jesus comes, I will do it. I'm not turning back. There's something about sealing a moment like this with an affirmation and confession. I've decided to follow Jesus.